Good morning.
It is good to be with the Lord's body on the Lord's day in the Lord's house. We are continuing our series, Joy on the Other Side, working our way through the Psalms. And this morning we are working our way through Psalm 26. And so we will begin by reading our psalm for this morning. I would ask you to stand if you are able. And if you do not have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible to your left or to your right. Please grab one and let us stand for the reading of God's word. When Yahweh returned the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, Yahweh has done great things for them. Yahweh has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Yahweh, as the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, this morning we ask that you would nourish us as you will at your table. We ask that you would nourish us with your word this morning. May it be edifying. May it build us up, your body, and strengthen your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I like to think of them as the Renaissance men of candy. They're intricate, they're savory, they're brightly colored, they stand out. They have a lean physique, but they're layered with complexity. They're a sophisticated sweet, but I don't know one kid that doesn't savagely devour them. The cherry flavor is disgusting. But the peach flavor is just straight up money. I've wondered a time or two how Twizzler pollen peels are made. I kind of like to imagine some sweet-toothed grandmother with thick cat-eyed shaped spectacles in her kitchen weaving them together intricately one by one. Delicately strung together by warm, arthritic hands. There's something about this candy that I crave every time I see it. Now, if you know me, I'm not into sweets. I'm not into candy. But there's something about this candy that makes me salivate every time I see it. I crave that gooiness that sticks on the enamel of my tooth, or the burst of flavor that crashes into the pockets of my mouth with every chew. Licorice is not my thing, and I hardly ever eat candy. But this candy, this twisted candy, does something for me. This morning, we read the scribbles of a grateful pen. Yahweh has done what he said he would do, and our psalmist is grateful. He's voicing his gratitude for deliverance. But yet we see towards the end that he finds himself in a similar situation. And what's most interesting is it's almost as if he says at the end, Lord, let's do it again. One more time, let's do it again. Yahweh has returned the fortunes of his people, and it's time for him to do it again. But these fortunes aren't coins or cloaks. No, these fortunes are his people. This is what our psalmist is praising. Yahweh has returned his people. He has brought them back from captivity, from a foreign land, and united them once again. United them once again. They were once prisoners oppressed by an anxious tyrant, as we read in Exodus 1. A tyrant worried about the future, worried about what could happen. But Yahweh had promised his people that he would gather them and return them home. They would no longer endure exile. They would no longer be captive. They would no longer wander in strange lands. It was like a dream. It was like they were dreamers and they were dreaming. Not of some wild wishes of coins and cloaks, but watching a foretold future become a reality. We are wary of superstition, but our psalmist knows that our God does communicate through dreams to his people, to those close to him. Dreaming and healthy and strong are the exact same words. It makes sense when you think about it. To hear from the Lord is to be close to him. And to be close to the source of abundant life, the creator of all things. That's where health and strength are. The unhealthy have trouble hearing, and the dead don't dream. These were the days, the psalmist notes. Nations were talking about Yahweh. They were talking about the great things that he had done. Imagine that. Imagine pagans and tyrants and apostates recognizing the things that the Lord is doing in and through his people. All of the great things being done in their midst. Do it again, Lord. Do it one more time. Time for round two. Restore our people like you did last time. We are parched. We are desiccating in a dry and weary land. The land of the south, of Negev. Burst open the floodgates and baptize us once again, Lord. We need to be refreshed. Deliver us and mesmerize the nations just one more time. We are not naive, though, Lord. We know what it takes. We know that our joy will require suffering. That tears of dejection will precede our shouts of joy. The harvest and the produce will require our tears. But we trust that you will deliver us again. We trust that you will come through. Do it again. One more time. Do it one more time, Lord. Great men rejoice in adversity as brave men rejoice in war. Let me read that one more time. Great men rejoice in adversity as brave soldiers rejoice in war. This is a line from Seneca the Younger, the Roman Stoic, in his essay entitled On Providence. I don't recall the last time I've seen someone rejoice in adversity. Most men today, most people today, collapse in adversity. They cower from challenge. They capitulate. They circumvent adversity. Something similar is going on in our text for this morning. Great things are happening. Yahweh is doing great things. But what's behind the scene here is that the word great is etymologically tied to the word twist. I think that's theologically provocative. Great deeds fashioned by Yahweh involve extensive twisting. Our God likes twisting things for his purposes. He likes twisting his people. He's no sadist, though. He's not enjoying the cries of pain and anguish. No, like a good coach, he understands the importance of stretching and twisting and contorting the body. Like an astute fisherman, he knows the strength of layered fishing line. I would like to think that our Lord is a twister. And I was constantly thinking of the game. I'm not going there, though. But I would like to think of our Lord as a Twizzler maker. To do great things, he twists his people. He turns them. He presses and pulls them for health and for strength. And when they're arrogant, he dislocates their hip. And when they're disobedient, he throws them in the belly of a fish. And when they're far too ambitious, he momentarily blinds them. Our Lord wants his people, his image bearers, to stand out from the nations. He wants his image bearers to stand out from other creatures so that they can be right, so others can be right. He wants his missionaries to bless the nations and his prophets to interpret Gentile dreams. He wants his exiles to be recognized for seeking the welfare of the city. He wants his church to disciple kings. But first, he must twist and turn his people. He must do a great work in them and fashion them into who they were meant to be. And what we recognize throughout his word is that to become a city on the hill, you have to wander in the wilderness for a while. To ascend to his right hand, you have to descend to hell. To give life or to experience life more abundantly, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. There is no rising without falling, no north without a south, no home without foreign lands, no liberation without oppression, no spring without winter, no refreshment without first being parched, no shouts of joy without sowing of tears. There is no resurrection without death. Our Lord wants to do great things, as he has done. And he wants to do great things for us, for his people, in and through us. But we first have to get splinters from carrying the cross. We must first endure captivity to enjoy deliverance and swallow sorrow in order to have our mouths filled with joy. As we prepare for another school year, I find myself reflecting on the ways the Lord has twisted me this year. Times when the stretching led to sowing of tears. Sorry about that, Nate and Alyssa. Like trying to find and hire a handful of teachers this summer. That was arduous. It was difficult. But as we convened this past week, all of the teachers, and did teacher training, all of the fruit, all of the vitality, all of the beauty is already present. Or 2 weeks ago with the passing of our Uncle Danny, and reminiscing about and remembering all of the ways that he loved us. There is stretching, and there is turning and twisting. And I'm also mindful of the brokenness and the hurt that's occurring even in this congregation. How have you been twisted this past year? Are you feeling the stretch today? Do you find yourself in this moment in a dry and weary land and the oppression is getting to you? Maybe for some of you it feels like you're in the belly of the beast. Perhaps even it might feel like you're in a tomb that is not empty yet. My friends, there is joy on the other side of the twist. There is the possibility of rejoicing in adversity. He has overcome the world, and he has delivered you once already. Do not cower from the stretch. Do not try to circumvent the twisting. Do not fear the adversity. He has delivered you once already. He will again. But may your prayer this week, this day, this month, this year, may your prayer be like it was for our psalmist. Do it again, Lord. One more time. Deliver us. Do it again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful. Like the psalmist who gives us words to celebrate your deliverance, we are grateful that you are sovereign, that you divinely orchestrate not only meta things in this world, but the minutiae of our lives. We are grateful that you pull through, that you show up. Lord, we ask you this morning, as we may be going through adversity, we may feel the stretch and the twisting, We ask that you would help us see that you will come through and help us see the purpose of it for you to do great things. May we trust in you to do great things, to glorify yourself, but also great things for your people. And may we, as we see, as we experience, may we, like the psalmist, give you due worship and give you the gratitude that you deserve. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.